The text comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, which goes like this, more or less. The kingdom of heaven shall be like a shepherd who, having 100 sheep and losing one, leaves the rest and seeks diligently until he finds it, and in so doing proclaims, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the sheep which I had lost." Or like a woman having 100 silver coins, and upon losing one, searches diligently until she finds it, and says, upon finding it, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost." So also it is in heaven. There is more joy for one sinner who repents than for 99 who need not do so. There is great joy in finding what was lost. Season of Advent carrying with it four themes, each a kind of emotion shared in community: hope, peace. Today, the Sunday of joy. So what's the deal with the pink candle? Kind of an interesting story. Christianity as a church, becoming a denomination, a social movement, started essentially as an illegal, secretive cult, and over time caught on, became institutionalized into a culture, came to define cultures as Christians, its ideological and political headquarters in Rome, more or less. And as the church evolved, so also then did the Pope and other leaders develop a liturgical calendar. How do we celebrate, how do we remember and commemorate the various touchstones or cut points in the life of Jesus? Well, the first season in the church's liturgical calendar, and for a long time the only special season in the church's year, was the season of Lent, the 7 weeks, or marked by 7 Sundays, that were the run-up to Easter. And liturgically, the church lit each of the 7 Sundays one more consecutive purple candle, purple being the color of royalty. Well, early on, the Pope, the bishops, and other church leaders realized that even though the 7 weeks of Lent is a time of reflection and contemplation and even repentance and sacrifice, we know the end of the story. The story has a happy ending. And so for years, and quite nearly at the start of these celebrations or commemorations, the third Sunday in Lent was in effect Lighten Up Sunday. The priests wore pink vestments, and the candle in the sequence of 7 that were lit during Lent was changed to pink. So for centuries, the only season in the church year was commemorated with 7 candles, the third of which being Lighten Up Sunday, in effect. Well, when the season of Advent was institutionalized, in effect to do the same thing for Christmas as was done for Easter, they maintained the 4 candles that were the first 4 in the season of Lent, leaving also the 3rd one to be the color of joy. Hope, peace, joy, love. The Sunday of joy, in effect being Lighten Up Sunday. This is somewhat different than the other 3. Sort of signifying the experience of finding something that was lost. I mean, in a petty and mundane way, I don't know about you, but I lose this thing almost twice a month. At the moment, I've lost my sunglasses. When I find it, well, that's a good thing. It's just a hint of that. There's a 50-50 chance I'm going to leave this thing sitting right here until next week. Well, the season of Advent, carrying with it this special Sunday marked by joy, in a way, joy is what we experience when we find the other 3 gifts. Hope, peace, and love next week. And aren't we now in a place where it seems especially necessary and maybe even especially difficult to find hope and peace? The economy is still sputtering along as it's been. The troops are home from Iraq. It's an open question whether we have left it better than we found it. And even the world of competitive sports, as uplifting as it can be when Baylor winds up with the Heisman Trophy representative this year, is still now, ever more so it seems, infected by corruption and greed and abuse. It's harder and harder to find what seems sometimes lost, hope and peace. So for a minute, I want to recapture a little bit what we have talked about with these Advent gifts and how to find them. 2 weeks ago, and it took me a while to remember this, so if you're not remembering it right off, that's perfectly understandable. The central image around the development of this Sunday of Hope was the buzz we hear in an elementary school lunchroom. Hear that again. Sort of a collection of whispers of children, you know. An enduring sound, a collection of whispers that sounds unlike anything else in the world. It sounds exactly like it did 50 years ago. It sounds exactly like it does today at any other place on earth where a couple hundred children gather and are talking. There's a buzz that carries with it the sound of whispering hope. I don't know how likely it is that you'll find yourselves in an elementary lunchroom before Christmas. But what you might want to do, especially if hope seems elusive to you, you might want to wander around the place in the mall when you're there shopping in the next week or two to where the kids line up to see Santa and just listen to the buzz in the line. Or if you're at a movie, pay attention to what it might sound like when the kids are lined up. I don't know, what's the big kids movie this season? Is it Puss in Boots or some such thing that kids are lining up for? Imagine it anyway, the buzz of kids lining up for this movie. Or any place you find the sound of children. A couple weeks ago, we were watching the Green Bay Packer game in a recreation room in a home of our son and grandkids, where five grandkids were running around. And it turns out that the sound of that room was louder than the sports bar where we usually watch Packer games. And the buzz and the sound brings us hope. Rejoice with me, for I have found what was lost. I have found the sound of hope. Look for it if you need it. Last week, the imagery surrounding peace was peace talks. In conversation, peace comes to us. A conversation even with people with whom we disagree, or disagreeable people, that when those conversations are characterized by courtesy, civility, maybe even respect, and sticking to the issues, a kind of peace can be forged, even about things over which we must ultimately agree to disagree. We can do so peacefully. Much less the people we love and who love us the most, who sometimes make us so darn mad, you know? And of course, the anger is a kind of defense mechanism to shield us from the much more frightening feelings of fear or guilt or utter helplessness that are realities in life. And when, in conversation, we go underneath the anger and honestly and with maybe even frightening candor, talk out what's scaring us or what brings us to grief and guilt, or sharing the experience of powerlessness, peace comes to be. Or even understanding through the experience of Holy Communion, or looking at ourselves in the mirror and hearing again the song, "What a friend we have in Jesus. There's nothing we cannot take to him in prayer, even with ourselves," such that at the end of every day, for whatever the day has brought or failed to bring, whatever we have done or left undone or couldn't prevent, the message again is, you were still worth it, and tomorrow's another day. Peace comes in conversation. Well, joy comes today when we rejoice that we have found again, through peace talks, the gift of the second Sunday. It's useful, I think, to recapitulate and then look ahead to next week, the Sunday of joy, or Sunday of love, excuse me. Today, the Sunday of joy, the lighten up Sunday. Love wraps everything up. It is, in fact, the sum of all the other feelings. And in many respects, is amplified through the sound of music. Arguably, the greatest piece of music ever written is Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, the fourth movement of which at least a portion of which has been set to the music of a hymn, which I'll get to in a second. But Beethoven is reported to have said, upon completing the Ninth Symphony and especially the Fourth Movement, late in his life when he was tone deaf, the writing of the Fourth Movement of the Ninth Symphony brought him an encounter with God himself. It was a theophany for Beethoven. And the words to the hymn that we borrow from that symphony, "Joyful, joyful we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love." It is in many respects through whispering, conversing, shouting, and even singing that the sum of all feelings becomes real. So for the moment, looking ahead but staying in the present, rejoice today, for we have found the source of hope. Rejoice today, for we have found the process of peace. Rejoice, for we have found, I don't know, maybe sunglasses. Rejoice, and again I will say rejoice, to the God of glory and the Lord of love. Amen.